Hi, my name is Charles Garcia Tobin, and I'm here to talk to you about the confidential computer architecture. And I'm joined by my colleague, Matteo Carlini, who will talk to you later about the trusted firmware project. So what's confidential computing for Arm? Confidential computing for us is about protecting data whilst it's in use from more privileged workloads, such as hypervisors or kernels that actually manage the data that programs are using. And we do this by adding by hardware protected environments. So actually through the years, we've added a number of different technologies in the architecture that provide different forms of isolation that can be used to build confidential computing systems. So trust zone is something we've had in the architecture for a long time. And many of you will have Android phones, and you'll be running trust zone in your phones today. Or you might have laptops that are based on Arm, and you'll be running trust zone in those. It's actually used throughout all ecosystems. And what it does is it gives a fixed environment where you can protect workloads from the hypervisor or operating system, effectively from the host. And by fixed environment, I mean that typically the memory that's used for those environments is carved out at boot, and there's no instructions in the ISO or architectural primitives by which you can make that memory bigger or smaller at runtime, depending on a use case. Virtualization is something we added later. Virtualization can be used to protect a payload from a host operating system. If you use a type one type kind of environment with a primary kernel, you can protect in one VM and a service in another VM, you can protect that service from that primary kernel. And that's one example of confidential computing, though you do have to trust that hypervisor. That said, you can have as much memory as you want in general, because most of the memory is made available to the hypervisor. Arm CCA kind of combines the properties of trust zone and virtualization in that it provides an environment where you can protect a payload from the host operating system or hypervisor, and even from actual existing trust zone code, because we do provide backward compatibility for trust zone. You can use as much memory as you need. So at runtime, you can pick whether a workload is going to be protected by Arm CCA or not. And also for Arm CCA, another point of difference with trust zone is that you can use it's aimed to be a primary standard OS feature. So the way by which you manage or interact with a secured payload is a primary feature of the operating system you use. And the operating systems that you run inside the payload are also standard. So you could run Linux or Windows inside one of these payloads, which is not the same with not typically, well, not the way trust zone has effectively been used by the industry. So very quickly, I just wanted to provide a bit of background with trust zone and what it does. And fundamentally, it just divides the state of the processor into being in a secure state or a non-secure state. And it also divides the resources, really mainly memory, into secure memory and non-secure memory. So when the processor is in a secure state, it can access all of the memory. It can access the secure memory, and it can access the non-secure memory. But when it's running in the non-secure state, which is where the vast majority of use cases will run, where, for example, in an Android device where Android would run and the applications you download, then it can only access the non-secure memory. So by definition, most of the memory will be non-secure memory, and you carve out a small amount of secure memory for the secure payloads, which would be things like payment or credentials management, for example. With the Arm confidential compute architecture, and the real name architecture really is the Realm Management Extension. So you will see us make the use of the acronym RME quite often. We introduce a new environment called a Realm. And Realms are actually, and the Realm environment, it's actually very, very similar to the trust zone secure environment in that a Realm has access to private memory that's only accessible within Realms, but it can also share with non-secure and access non-secure memory. Realm and secure cannot access each other, though. And you might be asking, well, why introduce a new environment? And it's really because we wanted to provide backward compatibility for users of trust zone. But also because we wanted to run, as I mentioned earlier, very standard workloads. So in a round, rounds are really aimed at being able to run Linux or being able to run Windows, you know, standard payloads with standard software. So there are actual minor architectural differences between rounds and TrustZone secure world payloads and architecture. The other big difference between the TrustZone world and the new realm management extension is that we've added a concept of dynamic memory. So at runtime, we have a data structure called the granular protection table, which tells you where a page of memory lives, whether it's a page that can only be accessed by a realm or a page that can only be accessed by a secure security state payload, TrustZone payload, or whether it's a general non-secure page that anybody can access. So that's, in a nutshell, a very quick summarized nutshell, what CCA is all about. So one good mental model for Arm CCA, if you're familiar with these other architectures, is AMD SCV or Intel TDX. In that, like those, we protect up to the level of virtual machines. So if you're familiar with an AMD SCV VM or an Intel Trust Domain, a realm is very similar. It's a virtual machine where the hypervisor has all of the illusions that it's managing it, and the hypervisor owns scheduling it and creating, destroying it, adding or removing memory from it, but it's actually running on the other side of an isolation boundary. So if the hypervisor tries to access the memory of the realm, it's going to take a fault. There's where it's slightly different to other architectures. Different architectures have different protection mechanisms. For us, it's primarily a faulting. So any access by the hypervisor or any other non-secure payload or a TrustZone payload would cause those to fault. We do also have encryption, but we primarily use that for reboot attacks. So on every reboot, we recycle the keys that are used for encryption. So any memory that was left over from the previous boot cycle is now effectively garbage. If you think of it in the terms of threat model, the realm threat model is one of confidentiality and integrity, but not one of availability. So as I already mentioned previously, if a host hypervisor or the host operating system or trust zone tries to access realm data or register state, it will take a fault. And that's whether it's trying to access it for read, which would be confidentiality, or access it for write, which would be integrity. And this is true not just for processors, but also for devices that might try and do this through DMA. It is not an availability threat model. So the hypervisor slash host operating system is always owning the resources, including the scheduling. And so it can decide when to schedule a realm. And if it gets hacked or it just decided never to schedule a realm, then that realm will not run. The reverse is not true. So for that, we do provide some support. So if a realm tried to steal the CPU for itself and not allow the hypervisor to run, it would fail. That's not something a realm can actually do architecturally. We do also provide support for known software injection attacks, things such as clock screw, which we do through a sort of system architecture SFC level requirements, and also for known side channels such as Spectre Meltdown. Though for that, you do expect the realm software itself to make use of new architectural primitives that were introduced when Spectre and Meltdown first appeared back in 2018. Finally, we don't protect against DRAM probe and replay in this architecture. If a piece of silicon needs protection from that, then it needs to provide additional hardware. One of the design goals of this architecture was to keep the hardware requirements very simple, because ARM operates on anything from a watch right up to a supercomputer. So we need to create an architecture that's implementable across all of those different segments. But that in turn implies firmware support to actually exercise the capabilities, these protection capabilities that we've added to the architecture. So there are some key firmware elements that are very much part of the whole picture of ARM CCA. The first one is the realm management monitor. And the realm management monitor exposes two different interfaces. One interface is for the hypervisors and is used for the actual management of realms. So it's how that interface is how hypervisors can actually add or remove memory to a realm, create a realm, schedule around so it can execute and so on. And the second is the Realm Services Interface, which is about providing services to the Realm itself. So this is, for example, how Realms can obtain attestation reports, which is the way by which they can ensure that they're running on a real correct implementation of Arm CCA, and also know what the measurements of the initial content of the Realm are, so they know that the payload that's running in there is what is expected. The monitor is another key piece of firmware, and its job is to primarily to perform context switching between the different security states, so between Realm state, non-secure state, and secure state, and also to program this granular protection table I mentioned earlier, which is what gives us the dynamic memory capability. This obviously has a number of different software impacts, and Matteo is going to talk a little bit more about that, but I just wanted to leave you the last slide. Obviously, we need to provide the RMM and the monitor, and our intention is to do that through the open source trusted firmware .org project that Matteo will talk about. There are impacts to the host, primarily because now to manage these realms, it has to go through the realm management interface rather than directly accessing the, it can't directly program the page tables for them, for example, or it can't directly schedule them. It has to go through this interface. So there's impacts there. The policy code is unaffected, but the actual mechanics are affected. And also it has to be able to manage these new faults that are introduced by the isolation boundaries that we've introduced. So if it tries to access Realm memory, as I said earlier, it will take a fault. And obviously handling that fault is a new concept and it will require enlightenment. There's no impacts to the actual host firmware, whether it's the bootloader or the description, because most of the way in which we expose the Realm management interface is through the use of instructions that we already have in the architecture and specifications that are associated with those instructions. Then the guest software also has some impacts, primarily if it wants to be able to make use of both the private Realm memory and share with the non-secure. It needs to understand that there are these two different kinds of memory. And if it wants to make use of attestation services or measurement services, then it needs to understand the Realm Services Interface. And this affects both the actual operating system itself, but also it affects changes. It affects the in-realm firmware. So projects such as OVMF, for example, will be impacted by this. And with that, I will hand you over to Matteo.
Thanks, Charles. Hello, everyone. I'm Matteo Carlini. I'm a director of software technology management in the open source software group at Arm, but I'm also the chairman of the board of the trustedfirmware.org community project. So let me start precisely by introducing the Trusted Firmware Open Governance Community Project. It's a set of projects, it's an umbrella project that provides a reference open source implementation for all the secure software running on Arm processors across all market segments. The membership is open to all, and the governance is overseen by two main governing bodies, the board of directors, which oversees the financial and strategic direction of the project. So deciding on investments, marketing campaigns, new projects being added to Trusted Firmware. And then the other body is the technical steering committee, which decides on technical matters, which affects all the project. For example, one of the big outcomes recently has been the introduction of a brand new security incident handling process for all the projects part of Trusted Firmware. So who are the company members and the projects? There you go. You can see a list of companies from all different segments and projects on the right-hand side. There is a reference implementation for the secure firmware running on both the A-class and the M-class processors, which is Trusted Firmware A, TFA, and Trusted Firmware M, TFM. There is OPT, which is a reference implementation of a trusted execution environment. There is Hafnium, a reference secure partition manager for the A-class virtualization extension. And then EmbedTLS, the very popular crypto library, and Trusted Services, which provides a set of predefined secure services like crypto, storage, and attestation that can be deployed on your platforms. All of that is also governed by an OpenCI system, which has been a big investment by the project in the past couple of years. There are member boards, both for TFA and TFM, which runs continuously on the OpenCI and check every commit. So how does this intersect with the ARM CCA enablement that Charles has just spoken about? So let's go back to the architectural diagram describing all the software pieces for ARM CCA. And this is where trustedfirmware.org comes into play. So you can see that the monitor running in the monitor mode will be deployed and is already delivered in the open as part of TFA. It's an extension of the Trusted Firmware A project that we call TFA Monitor. There are changes into the Hafnium SPM as well, primarily for handling dynamic secure memory support. And then, as Charles mentioned, there is a new component as well, which is called the Rail Management Monitor, the RMM, which will be deployed and delivered and developed in the open as a brand new Trusted Firmware project. The name is provisional, but might be called TF-RMM, so the Trusted Firmware implementation of the RMM code. Which is the status of play as of today? So the TF-RMM is currently under internal development in ARM. It will be published as part of trustedfirmware.org together with the first implementation of the spec and the first publication of the spec somewhere later this year. And from that point onwards, we foresee a continuous development in the open, tracking the evolution of the spec. The TFA monitor code, like I said, has been already delivered and tagged as part of an official TFA release, TFA 2.6 last November. If you look in the code, there is an enable flag, enable RME, which provides the support for the RME extension as part of TFA. That provides support for the forwards image, provides an initial support for an RMM image, together with test realm payload code, that, which tests the interfaces across boundaries. It also implements the GPT, the granular protection table library support. Finally, changes in the Hafnium SPM are ongoing and will be ongoing in the coming months, again, precisely for support GPT and the SMMU extension. How to collaborate in the effort? Well, with all the means provided by the Open Governance Trusted Firmware Project. We have open mailing lists that everyone can subscribe to and comment on. The code will be discussed in there. The reviews will be happening all in the public. We have a public Gerrit server in which all the reviews are happening. And then there are public tech forums, which are open to everyone. Topics are selected by the community, and all the experts, all the maintainers join into these forums and discuss the changes that are happening. Finally, there is also already available a starting kit for all the developers to touch CCA with their hands. ARM has provided support in the compilers for the Rail Management extension. There is a base model which provides support for RME, again, already delivered by ARM. And the TFA monitor can run on this base model and provide the first example of an RME-enabled platform running live on your systems. So with that, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to us for more information. We have put here a few links. There has been last year an ARM Linaro Confidential Compute Day, and there are various Linaro Connect presentations about the architecture of CCA, which has been developed in the open already. With that, I'm done with my presentation, and we are happy to take questions now.
Simulation mode, maybe something like similar to what SGX has, or will it? Can you say something about that?
I can take that one, Charles, if you want.
That's right.
I had already casted an answer on the chat. I'm not sure if people can see it, but anyway, ARM provides modeling platforms as part of the regular architecture updates. These are called fast modeling platform, which provides a simulation environment, WFX, that runs on a host machine and that simulates all the architecture extensions up to a certain level. So I posted the link on the chat. I'm not sure if you can see that. But if you look for fixed virtual platforms on the ARM, on the developer.arm.com website, you will find different modeling platforms. And there is one which is called Architecture Model. The Architecture Model, or Architecture MVP, already implements support for the RME extension that was presented in this talk. So you can use the download and use that on a Linux host, run trusted firmware, and play with it already. Right, Charles, you want to add something?
No, that's a perfect answer.
All right, that makes sense. Another question that I put in the chat earlier, you didn't really touch on the topic of attestation, another key building block for TE. So can you say something about that? And sure. Has been a bit missing from PlusZone. Is that something you want to address in CCA?
Yeah, absolutely. So attestation is a key requirement in CCA. Obviously, with just 20 minutes to talk about the architectures, we should have probably had a slide on that. Basically in CCA, I think one of the slides did cover that we have, we have a firmware ABI that's used to both to cover the attestation angle, but also to manage realms, which are equivalent of AMDSC VVMs or trusted domains in Intel TDX. And so one of the main purposes for having a realm facing ABI is to provide attestation reports. The attestation reports comprise both the platform information. You know, am I running on a host I'm running on a piece of silicon that implements the ARM realm management extension correctly, but also it involves measurements of all of the firmware that provides the TCB for the realm. And that's the pieces that comprise the platform piece of the attestation. And then the other thing we have is we have ABIs for providing measurement support so that Realm can also measure its own contents and put that into an attestation report as well. So yes, absolutely. Attestation is one of the key things. We're still working on the firmware ABIs. But I think probably towards the summer, you'll start to see specs coming out. And so we'll start to do some open sourcing of those as well, of the patches against those specs.
All right, that's great.